Amen. You have your Bibles with you. We're turning in God's Word to Job chapter 36. Job chapter 36. And we're commencing our reading at verse 1 of Job chapter 36. Job 36, and commencing at verse 1. Let us hear God's Word. Elihu also proceeded and said, "Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my words shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mighty, and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters, and be held in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work, and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity, and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he findeth them. They die in youth, and their life is among the unclean. He delivereth the poor in his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. Even so he would have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place, where there is no straitness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. Desire not the night, when people are cut off in their place. Take heed, regard not iniquity, for this thou hast chosen rather than affliction. Behold, God exalteth by his power, who teacheth like him, who hath enjoined him his way, or who can say, thou hast wrought iniquity." Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 23, knowing that the Lord himself will bless the public reading of his word for his own name's sake, and as he has promised to do so. Let us bow together reverently, quietly before the Lord, conscious that we come to the most important part of the meeting, preaching of divine truth, proclamation of the gospel. Lord, our Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this place, we ask of thee that thou wilt help and intensify thy presence. We simply bring back your truth before thee. As thou hast said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. We thank thee that the Lord of hosts is with us. We thank thee that the God of Jacob is our refuge. We thank thee for the one who is our security, the one who is our help in times of trouble. We ask of thee that thou will empty me now of self and of sin, and fill me now full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Bless the words of thy mouth. Bless the preaching and the hearing of divine truth. We ask of thee for that holy awe, of that which thou alone can give. Shut us in with thyself. Arrest individuals. Draw them graciously to thyself. Throw out the arrows of conviction. Convince and convert. And we would be careful to give thee all the praise and glory. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things. And for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. Job chapter 36 and the verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The Bible, God's Word, reveals, speaks about the wrath of God, of God's eternal punishment, of His holy displeasure against sin and against sinners. Christ Himself, when He was on this earth in the flesh, He continually warned in His ministry of the wrath to come. The text before us is a solemn declaration, as all Scripture is, because it doesn't say there might be wrath. Neither does it say there could be wrath or should be wrath. No, because there is wrath. The text solemnly declares there is wrath, and stands as a warning to many in this world. The words of Elihu in the text stand forth as a great warning to the ungodly, to the unrighteous of our present day and generation. For what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? A word of caution to the unbeliever, to the unregenerate, to consider his or her present condition, and to escape from sudden and everlasting destruction. Friend, no matter how much you seek to evade the sentence or to erase the reality from your mind or to shut your ears off to the solemn declaration, it does not remove the fact there is wrath. Wrath, that is divine wrath, which is necessary because of the holiness of God. The due punishment of sin. That is wrath which is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. His justice to punish wickedness. That is eternal vengeance, which is namely wrath to come. God is perfectly holy. And because He is perfectly holy, it is absolutely necessary, essential, that there is wrath. Because of the holiness of God, His holiness requires the punishment of sin. His holy, everlasting displeasure against sin, therefore there is wrath. Wrath to come in another world. And all sins are deserving of and which comes and abides on all impenitent, unrepenting, unbelieving persons. Because there is wrath, beware lest He take thee away with His stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. And therefore we have clearly before us God's wrath. God's wrath. An everlasting separation from God. And if men or women do not turn from their wicked course of life and turn to the Lord to live to Him and according to His will. Unless men are converted and repent of their sin, and there is a transformation wrought in his or her heart and life, God's arrows of wrath will be leveled against the wicked. And therefore, let us consider firstly the reality of God's wrath. The reality of God's wrath. Because there is wrath. God's wrath. His eternal punishment of the damned is a terrible reality that men and women need to be faced with in this present day and generation. You see, the fact that the popular God of popular so-called Christianity is not the God of the Bible. You see, the social God, He has no eyes to see, no ears to hear, and no arm to punish the ungodly. Yet we find the God of the Bible, the true and living God, had fire and brimstone for Sodom and Gomorrah. The one and only true God. The one and living God, the God of the Bible. He dashed into pieces sinning nations like a potter's vessel. However, the modern God has no judgment in His hand. The modern God, according to the social gospel today, has removed the sword of divine justice. and sets as an indulgent weakling. His arm that used to visit vengeance upon unrepented sinners now hangs nervously in paralyze. My friend, that is not the God of the Bible. I refuse to worship such a God. For such a God is the creation of man, the imagination of men's hearts, and their own wishes and folly, but not the God of this book. There is but one only, the living and true God. The true God is unchangeable. For when the lion roars, the beasts of the field keep silence. When Jehovah speaks, let the kings of the earth keep silence. For I am Jehovah. I change not, because there is wrath. Jehovah, friend, is the only sure and permanent rest of the soul. And those who reject Him must remain forever restless. For I am the Lord, I change not. Jehovah, a name peculiar to the Most High, who here speaks and is expressive of His being, of His self-existence, of His purity and simplicity, of His immensity, of His infinity, and of His eternity and His sovereignty. And so God is the same in the Old Testament day and in the Gospel day, and will be so to His people forever. For I am Jehovah. I change not, because there is wrath. It is He and He alone that will put an end to unbelief. He who hurled oceans over men and women, drowning a guilty world. He who reduced Sodom to ashes. He who destroyed Jericho with its inhabitants. He who gave Jerusalem to the Roman armies. He is the one who says, I am Jehovah. I change not. And what He has done before, He can and will do again. Because there is wrath. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. My friend, it is a reality. It is a reality whether willing to face it or not. It is a fact settled in the heavens that God, the God of the Bible, has both mercy and justice. At Mount Sinai of old, He set forth His justice. At Calvary of old, He is shown to be both just and merciful. And therefore, a God that is all mercy, a God that is all mercy, is an idol of the evil imaginations of modern man. For such a God is not the God of the Bible. For the God of the Bible, and God pity the mark in society today, is the unknown God. Justice and mercy are the pillars of God's throne. And the day you take away justice and the punishment of sin is the day that you've denied the true and living God and make your God out of the figment of your imagination. But such a created God is not the God of this book. He is not the God of people. He is not the God of Calvary. He is not the God of all heaven and of all earth. There is a hell. Because there is wrath. These, the ungodly, the unrighteous, the unsaved, the unconverted, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. Because there is wrath. There isn't only the reality of God's wrath, but there is the warning of God's wrath. The warning of God's wrath. Because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. God's solemn warning to all sinners, all kind of sinners, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke, which is the stroke of his hand. And is sometimes given suddenly and in an awful manner in wrath and vengeance. Therefore, beware lest he take thee away suddenly with his stroke, and be so wise. And be so wise as to make thy peace with him quickly, and flee from the wrath to come. Such a warning given to us. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. There is a hell. Everlasting fire. Outer darkness. Where there is no light. Not even a glimmer. Where there is constant, continual, eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a hell. Be sure of that. Do not hide your face as an ostrich in the sand. And throw the Bible out the window and Christ and the gospel with it and seek to live as if the modern mind had been able to undo the revelation of God's wrath. Oh, hear me. Oh, hear me this night. Because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. There is a hell. There is a hell. Though fast growing universalism arises in society, that men are all alike, saint and sinner, will turn up in heaven at last. Though all of this, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Although soft sentimentalism, and we find it all around us today, tells us that the murderer and the murdered, the seducer and the seduced, the hater and the hated, the thief and his victim will all find heaven at last. Though all of that, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Though popular theology, if you can even call it theology, claims that Cain and Abel, David and Herod, Jezebel and Elijah, Judas and Peter, Nero and Paul, all come out of the same side of the judgment throne, still because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Friend, what a strange heaven. What a strange heaven we are to have after all if we are to believe what comes out of some church circles today. The hypocrites and the whoremongers will be there. Drunkards will be there. The backbiters will be there. The blasphemers will be there. All of them there together with the saints in heaven. In the undefiled building of God. Well, if reason hadn't altogether left us, such thinking is blasphemy. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. For without a righteousness, there will be no entrance into eternal bliss and everlasting happiness. And the righteousness must exceed the righteousness of what sinful men and women seek to work out, and which is none other than the righteousness of Christ. Men and women, you need to ponder long the truth that the sin that is rooted in your soul, you will not hang off, you will not throw off as you do your coat upon a hanger. Sin is a part of your being. And sin will live long after sun and moon have passed away. And sin, if not checked in this life, will destroy you and ruin you in the life to come. Because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Oh yes, we've seen the reality of God's wrath. The warning of God's wrath. Finally and thirdly, there is the finality of God's wrath. The finality of God's wrath. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. There comes a time when a man or woman is unable to be saved. Because once God's wrath falls upon an individual, nothing whatsoever can buy that soul back. And so we learn the finality of God's wrath. Once a man is lost in hell forever. It is too late. Not even the blood of Christ is able to recover that soul then. A great ransom cannot deliver thee. Friend, a time when you cannot be saved. A time when you cannot be saved, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. When? Then. When you're no more in this life. When you've entered into death and eternity, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. It leaves men beyond hope. No longer in a day of opportunity. And therefore, if you're ever going to be delivered from God's wrath, it must be before it's too late. Hell, friend, is forever. And if you reject Jesus Christ and His finished work in this life, you will in no way receive Him in the life to come. The finality of God's wrath. And yet the Lord gives you warning. The Lord Himself gives you warning. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the divine indignation, to flee from the punishment that will come upon the guilty. Therefore, friend, why not flee from the wrath to come this very moment? Hasten to the place of deliverance. Hasten to Calvary's cross. Forsake your sin and flee to Christ because there is wrath. Beware lest He take thee away with His stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. It is then that men are beyond hope. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Friend, God has given you this warning. God has given you this warning that you would heed it and come to Christ. That you would cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from wrath through Him. For it is the blood of Christ that keeps the sinner from going to everlasting fire. The finished work of Calvary's cross. You see, the blood of Christ is precious, as the Holy Ghost states. Precious in its cleansing power. It cleanseth from all sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh friend, there may be some sins. There may be some sins of which a man cannot speak, but there is no sin which the blood of Christ cannot wash away here and now. But then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Through Jesus' blood there is not a spot left upon any believer, no wrinkle nor any such thing remains. That is, sins of deep dye, and which have for such a place in the hearts of men upon the conscience that nothing can remove them but the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Christ that makes us clean. the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. For by the blood of Christ sprinkled upon our consciences, as the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled upon the altar and the sacrifice, this blood, His own blood, the blood of Christ, pacifies God and purifies the consciences of men. It speaks to God in behalf of sinners. It pleads not for vengeance as the blood of Abel did on him who shed it, but for mercy. And so to sinners, in the name of God, it speaks pardon to their sins, peace to their souls, and bespeaks their strictest obedience and highest love and thankfulness. Is not this precious? Is not this precious? For it makes us clean, removing the stains of iniquity and permitting us to stand accepted in the Beloved. Notwithstanding the many ways in which we have rebelled against our God, it is precious, precious in its preserving power. For the child of God is safe from wrath. Safe from wrath. Safe from the destroying angel under the sprinkled blood. Because it's God seeing the blood that is the real reason for our being spared. And therefore it is precious, unspeakably precious. You can be saved right now. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The Father let out upon His own Son. The Father let out upon His own dear Son, upon His soul, a sense of His afflicting wrath against sin. Not His own sin, because He had none, but for the sins of those He came to save. Punished for sins not His own, He died to atone. The Father said, awake. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. God the Father giving commission to the sword, the divine sword of His divine justice, to awake against His own dear Son. When He had voluntarily made His soul an offering for sin, for it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, and to put Him to grief. He was stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. It was He that became man in order to save men. He was born, and that in a low condition, undergoing the miseries of this life. He was under the law, rendered perfect obedience to it, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross. His being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time, and His rising again the third day, descending up into heaven and sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the end and design of all this, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, might be justified, declared righteous, freely, by the grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Because there is wrath, beware lest He take thee away with His stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Therefore, come to Christ now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Come now. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Because there is wrath, beware lest He take thee away with His stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. My friend, Christ paid the price. Therefore, flee from the wrath to come. Flee to the Christ of God and embrace His grace as He's freely offered to you. And the gospel. Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord, conscious that we're still in His presence. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we ask of Thee that You'll take that which has been of Thyself. We ask of Thee that Thou wilt give deciding grace. Thou wilt show men themselves to themselves and reveal to them Thine only begotten Son. Give the gifts of repentance and of faith. May there be rejoicing in heaven even this night over souls coming to the new birth, and rejoicing in sins forgiven, and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Take us to our homes in safety. We ask these things in Thy dear and precious name, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.